Hello, everyone, and welcome back at long last to the Beatcraft Podcast, episode number 24. I am your host, Emilson, and joining me today to talk about the new essences that are coming in patch 8.3, we have Abelito.
Hey.
And we have J-Funk.
Hello.
So, just a quick rundown. So, obviously, it's been a while since the last podcast. I think the last one went up at the end of October last year. We are now in a new decade, and the next patch comes out 3 days from when we are recording this on the 14th of January, at least on North American servers. So, besides the essences that we're going to spend most of the podcast today talking about, we're also going to briefly run through the class changes that are coming to each of the specs. And a couple of the other relevant features that, if you're raiding at the heroic or mythic level, you probably are going to need to care about. So why don't you start things off for us, J-Funk, by walking us through the buffs that Windwalker is getting in patch 8.3.
They're getting a 25% increase to Rising Sun Kick damage and a 10% increase to Blackout Kick damage. This is like a 3.5% single target buff and should improve their single target, but I don't think it is enough to make them super good yet, but
I mean, looking at logs from this tier, at least the gap between Windwalkers and other melee specs, notably Havoc, is more than 3.5%.
yeah, I think Windwalker would need at least like a 5% to 8% or a buff on top of these buffs to be good again.
Does this break the dropping the Rising Sun Kick from your rotation?
Yes, it should.
Well, that's something at least. How about Mistweaver, Abe?
Mistweaver actually got a lot of buffs in this patch, but I'll just go with a quick rundown. Essentially, all of our base spells besides Essence Font got buffed by anywhere from 10 to 5%. Revival got buffed too, which is real nice. And Rising Mist, the talent, got a sizable buff of 100% on the hot extension duration and like a 33% on the healing it does directly, which generally puts us in a lot better place than we were before, but we don't really break the Paladin Disgrace meta yet.
Does the Rising Mist buff, that's the kick weaving talent, right?
Yep. Tier 100, and it goes against Upwelling.
Is it going to be good enough to see some use in raids?
Actually, from what we're looking at, it looks like it's your default on almost all fights. There might be one where you don't take it, but that's because of essences. Like, you're wanting to take Way of the Crane that fight, and Rising Mist and Way of the Crane don't really play well together.
That's interesting. I would have thought they worked nicely together. But that's a topic for another podcast. The other things that are coming out in patch 8.3. So there's a bunch of cosmetic stuff like Volperas and Mechagnomes. Not going to go into detail on that. The raid relevant stuff, we've got legendary cloaks that are coming. So notably, there will not be any cloaks dropping from your Mythic Plus cache, and there are zero cloaks from the new raid. Because Rathion is back to give you legendary cloak, same as he did in MOP, and we're going to be upgrading it by doing a new thing called a horrific vision. Wowhead has a lot of info about that. That's not a monk thing. There's a lot of info about that already. Not going to go into detail about it here. I haven't actually done any of them yet on the PTR, so the first time I'm going to do it is on Tuesday or Wednesday this week. The other new thing that's coming out is that gear, as of patch 8.3, instead of Titan Forging or Warforging, it will instead corrupt. That adds one of a bunch of different affixes to the gear. Not going to go through a complete list. A couple examples. There's some stat buffs that just like multiply your stats. Gosh, I don't even know. There's some on-hit damage and random effects like that. And if you stack too much of it, then you start getting negative effects that increase your damage taken and slow you and all kinds of nasty stuff like that. That's probably going to get the greedier people in my guild killed in the raid. And I mentioned that because some of the essences we're talking about today are going to give what's called corruption resistance that decreases the severity of those bad effects while letting you still equip the very powerful corruption affixes on your gear. And apparently, Abe just reminded me, I forgot to mention the Brewmaster nerfs. So there's two real nerfs that we're going to be getting in patch 8.3. Three, if you count the changes to Mythic Plus. So as far as raiding is concerned, Stagger is getting another nerf. So your stagger percent as you go into the next tier, it's already dropping because of the change in scaling, just like it does every tier this expansion. And it's going to get another drop because they're nerfing high tolerance and stagger itself yet again. They're also fixing a bug with Gift of the Ox. For those that aren't familiar with how that works, it is supposed to be that for every 100% of your health that you take in damage before mitigation, you spawn an orb. It turns out that it was actually doing more like every 60% of your health because of some of the extra stamina that wasn't counting from, let's see, Azerite pieces, I think, gave a bunch of extra stamina, and the Heart of Azeroth, as of 8.2, that has all those percent bonus stamina nodes that weren't getting counted, and those increased your HP by about 40%, and that just wasn't counting, so we were getting almost double the orbs that we should have been. But neither of those nerfs look like they're going to be a big deal for us in the raid environment. So it sounds like nothing is really changing from the status quo in terms of any spec. Is that right?
More or less, yeah.
Yeah.
So Babs is still going to be playing Windwalker or Havoc, probably?
Yeah, I think so.
Sad days.
Sad days. But let's talk about essences. And to kick things off, we've got one of the general essences that I think has me the most excited, but sounds like it might have some use for other specs as well, maybe some niche opportunities. So the Formless Void is a new generic essence. As a miner, it gives corruption resistance, which is going to let you equip more corrupted gear. But the major is that you can copy target player's major for 15 seconds, and then you can cast their major, and when you do, Formless Void goes on cooldown for 30% longer than that essence's cooldown. So basically what that means is in keys, Brewmasters can use Meme Beam. I don't know what else anybody is going to use it for.
Yeah, I mean, from a healer perspective, if you do take it, all you're really going to want to do is steal Meme Beam for Mythic Plus, and in Raid, there's, like, not much reason to take it.
I know for DPS, they were talking about, for Windwalker, stealing the Taunt one, but I don't think that'll be good.
Yeah. I don't know, I think it's going to be interesting for the non-DPS specs. I think you're right. I don't think the DPS specs are going to want basically any of the healer or tank essences, partly because the tank essences are bad and partly because the healer essences don't really do anything except healing.
Yeah. Everyone wants to increase their DPS, and you can't really like increase your survivability or, you know, healing if you're a DPS outside of like, let me take this one essence that won't do too much for me and reduce my total damage by, you know, a million.
I think part of it is that the major essence slot is such a huge part of your damage that giving that up for anything else as a DPS player is just non-negotiable. You just can't do it. I know I had some conversations earlier in the PTR cycle with some folks in Peak about whether it might see use as picking up specific tank essences for DPS in order to survive things in high keys. And it doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. We're not going to see So for example, Windwalkers in lower Karazhan, I know I saw people running the Aggramar Trinket that is just a massive shield, and they use that to survive some of the mechanics that would otherwise one-shot them. But those mechanics just don't exist in BFI dungeons, so it doesn't sound like this is going to have any use for Windwalkers.
No, like, the thing in high keys is that there's some one-shots, like the first boss in Freehold, but people have just found ways to cheese those at this point that it's not very useful to have a tank major.
Right, it's not like Maiden of Virtue in lower Kara, where it had this unavoidable damage burst. There is a little bit more to the minor than just the corruption resistance. Whenever an ally uses a major essence, you're going to get primary stat and haste in small amounts. And then at rank 3, you also give one of your allies haste. Whoever has most recently used their major, basically, is going to get extra haste. I don't know about Windwalker and Mistweaver, but I don't think Brewmaster is going to be using that because agility is so weak and haste is really bad.
Yeah, from a Mistweaver perspective, there's just better things to put as a minor, because it's like you get a small stat buff, you get a very small amount of haste, and it's like, what is that, 1% haste you get, and that's not going to like make you do 4,000 more healing or something. It's like you're going to get like at most like 3,000 healing, but that's if you're pushing 100k HPS, so it's like a drop in the bucket at that point.
And I know for Windwalker, it isn't very good just because haste isn't that useful of a stat. It is important to note that the miner does proc from vision major users, so in like your raid, it'll have a pretty good uptime if you have a lot of vision major users.
Okay. So basically, if you have a bunch of paladins, and I don't know who else uses vision major besides holy paladins.
I think it's like just paladins.
Fantastic. My concern, I think this one actually might be the fourth minor that Brewmaster ends up using, even though the rest of the effect is hot garbage, only because of the corruption resistance. And that's looking like it's going to be powerful enough from the extra amount of corrupted gear you can put on to outweigh any of the fourth minors that you could get as a tank, because they're also bad.
Well, I think it's important to note, I believe that you can only benefit from one of the miners in terms of corruption resistance.
Yeah,
that is true. So yeah, all of the ones we're talking about today, except for a couple of old essences that got buffed pretty massively, you can only get the corruption resistance from one of them. So you can't like put on four of these new essences and have 40 corruption resistance. You only get 10.
Which is nice, because most of these essences are questionable.
I know for DPS, you're probably just going to use the new Breath of the Dying miner and just forget about it.
So let's talk about that one next, actually. So that one, the major is like an on-use. It does a burst of damage to a single target, and then if you're in execute range, the cooldown, which is regularly 45 seconds, gets reduced to 15 seconds. And the miner is just like procs damage when you hit things.
Yeah. It's kind of like Crucible a little bit. Or like it's just like a random DPS miner, but it's more useful because it procs more often and execute. In terms of the major though, like the major is really nice if you can snipe adds. I think the rank 3 still has it where if you kill a target with the major, it will buff the damage by 100% for the next usage of it.
Oh, I had missed that when I was looking at it.
I know on the PTR briefly, you were able to like snipe critters before a boss, but I think they fixed that.
That is correct. If Reaping Flame, which is the major power's name, kills an enemy, its cooldown is lowered to 5 seconds, and it will deal 100% increased damage on its next use. So maybe on a heavy ad fight like Hive Mind, we're going to see everybody using that, trying to snipe ads.
Yeah. the projectile is instant. Like, there's no projectile. It just does damage to the target, but you still have to, like, kill them with it.
Gotcha.
That could sound interesting, actually, with the copy essence, depending on how that works, because it's like, if you copy it and then kill, does it then give you, you know, a 5-second window and then the 100% damage buff later?
I'm not sure. But from the major rank 3, it's really good to, like, on your opener, because the opener also procs the 15-second thing, and then, like, also good in execute, which is usually where you want your damage and progression is execute, because it's important. And the miner has, like, a 400% chance to proc when they're in execute range, which is really nice. I'd imagine for most, like, DPS classes, it'll probably just replace Crucible as a miner, just because all the bonus effects it has, and then plus the corruption resistance that it provides, it's just really nice.
That makes sense. So this is looking like the most likely just miner slot, and maybe for specs that are still using Crucible Major, also the major spot.
Yeah, you might use this if the Spark of Inspiration strategy becomes a thing. I don't know if it will or not, but if it does, then Breath is actually very good for that.
So let's talk about Spark of Inspiration. This one I think is interesting. So it's a DPS-only essence. On use, party-wide buff to damage from essences. And I'm not clear, is this just major essences or all?
It's only major essences that do damage, I think.
Okay. And then the miner has a proc that reduces the cooldown of your equipped major by 1 second, according to Wowhead. Which, if you look at the proc rate at, like, rank 3, it's about 4 seconds off of your major every minute, which doesn't seem very good.
Not really. The miner isn't why you pick it. It's the major. I think, reading it now in the PTR, I think it might be all essences, because what it says, but I'm not 100% sure on the miners working or whatever. But the major seems really good, because it's like you can just coordinate with your party, because it only buffs your party members within 15 yards. So it's only your, like, 4 people in your group. And it's 1 minute cooldown. So you can, like, line up Breath of the Dying on, like, in your opener. You can use Spark of Inspiration, and everyone in your party just uses, like, a combination of Breath of the Dying and, like, or Crucible Major, and they just do a lot of damage with it. Because I know for a lot of DPS specs, like, Crucible is kind of good, but if it's 45% better, I imagine it's probably the best. But I don't know if the one person that's using the Spark is actually causing it to be a DPS loss or not.
Right.
And then if we go back to Formless Void, you could have your healers steal this and use it for other groups as well, if they wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's just real questionable, because from the math I've seen behind it, it isn't too big of a DPS increase versus what you would lose as a healer to get it. Because then what, it's like 1 minute and 30 seconds you get to use it every time you're a healer?
It's more like 1 minute and 20 seconds, but yeah.
Yeah, but then it's like, as a healer, what essences line up snuggly with that? And it's like, everything's either a 2 minute or a 2 minute, a 30 second, or like a 3 minute.
Yeah, if there's any spec or any role I expect to see this abused on with Formless Void, it's tanks. Because all tanks use Crucible of Flame Major on almost every single fight. And I don't expect that to change going into Nyalotha. So really all you're giving up for this is your tank loses Crucible of Flame. And instead, like, you put one tank in the group with 4 DPS and the other tank in the group with 4 DPS. And then a third, just like a DPS in a third group. So then you can, you know, every 80 seconds your tanks can do this, and every 60 seconds your DPS can do this. That's, if it gets used at all, that's how I expect it to get used.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be pretty strong. Like, as a Windwalker monk, you could, like, use it, because you're, like, you're gonna be the lowest single target damage in your raid probably anyway. You just play a bard build, I guess. Just buff your team. Because on opener and execute with Breath of the Dying Major, you can get 2 of them in the window of the extra damage, which it does 52k normally, so it'd be pretty good. But for me, it's either going to be like either the Spark build will become good in raids and coordinated raids, or, like, it'll just be World Vein spam, I think.
Yeah, I was concerned in 8.2 about World Vein being something that like Brewmasters had to run despite it being really bad for Brewmasters just to support DPS running it. And this has that same feeling of maybe tanks are going to be running this or running Formless Void to copy this, despite, you know, both of those essences being pretty weak for tanks. And I mean that's fine. I actually think using Formless Void to copy Spark of Inspiration sounds cool. It's a heck of a lot better than just putting World Vein on.
I wonder if can you still move like raid members around mid-combat from party to party?
No, you cannot. That got
Oh.
changed. I don't remember when it got changed, but I know you could in Burning Crusade, and I don't believe you could as of Wrath or Cataclysm. But that is one thing that broke because of the like party. They broke the ability to move people between parties during combat.
Wind Fury Totem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the only downside is if you do this, you need to have your two tanks in different groups to benefit the most.
And then you'll probably keep all the healers in one group and keep them away from DPS.
How so? I don't recall any other effects in the game right now that are like relevant that are party specific. So I don't know what issue there would be with having your tanks in different groups, aside from just not being able to shitpost in party chat.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Important to note, the Spark of Inspiration Miner does not reduce the cooldown of any ability that you gain via CNS Major. So for Windwalker, it doesn't reduce the cooldown of Reverse Arm.
Yeah, so it says, does it say? It doesn't say that it doesn't work on passive essences, but technically, Conflict and Strife is passive and just like gives you a talent.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
Yeah, I posted it as a bug on the forums, and the one of the developers posted it's not a bug, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Man, can you imagine? Oh, man. If Reverse Harm got reduced by this, I think it would still be bad because it doesn't do enough. It doesn't reduce the cooldown by enough.
I
I
mean,
wish, yeah.
if it did affect it, I would want it to like reduce cost or something, because then Way of the Crane could not be a fourth of your mana bar.
Just manatee forehead.
That's still then an eighth.
Yeah. So then one of the other essences, I mentioned a couple of them got buffed, but one that did get buffed is the Unbound Force from Najatar rep. It got buffed like a lot. I think they buffed the major by 40%. And then there's, let's see, let me pull it up again. So they buffed the major. Oh, this isn't patch notes. They buffed the major by like 40% and added a bunch of stuff to improve consistency from the remaining effects. Is that worth using now?
No. Oh, the minor might be for some specs, but the major still seems too situational to use reliably. Like when I tested it a lot on the PTR when I did raid testing, and I think the common problem I ran into is that the minor is too much RNG. So like you want to like use the major with the minor because it synergizes really well, but it's just like kind of awkward. If it procs at a bad time, it just feels bad to use, but you're kind of forced to do it anyway.
Yeah. And then I guess so for reference, the minor is when an ability fails to critically strike, you have a high chance to gain Reckless Force. When Reckless Force reaches 20 stacks, your critical strike is increased by 70% for 4 seconds at rank 3. But if you want, like, if you're a class that likes crit, which is where the bonus crit chance would be most valuable, that's probably putting you over crit cap. And you're going to have a reduced, you're going to get this effect at a reduced rate because you're going to fail to crit less. So it just seems counterproductive.
The miner got buffed to 6 seconds this patch instead of
Oh,
four.
6 seconds.
That's why people are somewhat considering the miner to be okay, maybe.
Got you. I mean, 70% crit for 6 seconds is, you know, not bad, but if it doesn't proc often enough, then you're still not going to use it.
Yeah, it's more that it just, like, I think ideally you would want to proc it during your huge damage windows, and, like, it can just proc during, like, your, like, for Windwalker, it just procs when you're doing, like, Blackout Kick, and everything's on cooldown, so you just sit there Blackout Kicking with crit, and it's kind of lame. And then the Major is kind of hard to use, because, like, it's only really useful single target. You proc the Minor more in AoE, but I think, but the, like, the Major, like, you want to use it single target, and then you, like, you're proccing more, and then it's on cooldown, and it feels really strange. That's why I don't like the Major very much.
Yeah, that sounds really awkward to use. One of the other ones that got buffed, and I guess I'll just go ahead and get this out of the way, is World Vein. The Minor, I don't think, got changed, but the Major got a massive buff. So what it does is it increases the amount of main stat that you get from the World Vein shards that the Minor spawns. However, they buffed it from being 50% increased stat for 10 seconds to being 300% bonus stats for 18 seconds. They literally buffed it by almost a factor of 6.
Yes, it's very good. It's on a 1 minute cooldown too. It's a,
yeah.
For reference, Font of Ashara gives 33, no, I have a 455 font on live servers, and it gives 3700 primary stat for 30 seconds on a 2 minute cooldown, and you have to channel it. World Vein on the PTR with 75 neck gives 4400 primary stat for 18 seconds on a 1 minute cooldown.
On a 1 minute cooldown, and oh, no my channel, gosh.
Right?
And no channel. You just use it.
Wow. Although, am I correct in saying that most Major essences are more powerful than trinkets in Eternal Palace?
Maybe.
Not counting, like, if we ignore Font of Power, are the others?
I would think so, right? Like, Inkpod and Coral seem really crazy for a lot of people.
So wait, they're stronger than Majors or weaker than Majors?
I'm not sure, but
okay. So maybe it actually is a reasonable comparison that, like, you know, World Vein Major might actually be nuts for people. Like, you just press that, you do your cooldowns and just delete things.
I'm not sure if they actually fixed the Minor at any point for World Vein, because I know it was buggy lot before. And they took, I remember they said they fixed it, but then they didn't actually fix it, so I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, they definitely said they fixed it. They definitely didn't actually fix it. So the problem, just as a refresher, is that whenever a shard despawned, even if there were, I think the cap is like 6 stacks. Whenever... 4?
Yeah.
Okay. When a shard despawned, even if there were still 4 in range of you, it would put you down to 3 stacks for several seconds before putting you back up at 4. And so that really, even if you had everybody in the raid running it and you were all stacked the entire time on like Zavara or something, you would still only be getting about 3.2 to 3.5 stacks on average, and just like slashing the value of this by 15 to 20%.
From a DPS perspective for Windwalker, this seems really cool because you could just use World Vein with a SCF like every time, and it seems pretty nice. It also lines up with TOD every 2 minutes. I don't know for healers and tanks how good it'll be though.
It's a weird one because it's like, wow, this is pretty great. Like it provides a good bit of int, and int is always good for us, but like it competes against Lucid, and Lucid is just so strong that it's like, if you don't take Lucid, you're probably not going to have like mana to the end of the fight, or you're going to hit like other awkward points. Like, it's definitely good, but it's like competing against other things is just not worth it.
So you're also playing Holy Paladin right now, Abe. How does this look for Holy Paladins?
Competing against Vision is kind of a joke. So
basically,
and also on top of it, Glimmer doesn't scale with Int, so a third of your healing just won't be affected by it. So it really just gets slashed in value out of it, sadly. Or value gets slashed out of it by that factor. So it's like for Glimmer, it's just not looking like the move because the majority of your healing won't do anything with it. And then on every other healer, you're just like, well, I kind of like mana, so I can actually heal in general. And the leech from Lucid is pretty nice too, so.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem that most tanks have as well. Brewmasters this tier hit the point that 60% of our damage more or less came from sources that don't scale with attack power or agility. Between benthic gear and essences and trinkets and the Sivara Lance and Geti Ku for blood DKs. So there's a lot of damage sources that just don't scale with agility at all or strength for the other specs. So the value of the main stat is really questionable. I could see using it to buff, like using the miner to buff the rest of the raid, but you're probably not using this as a major over Crucible of Flame if you're interested in damage. And agility's value defensively is an absolute joke, so you're never using it for that. Actually, you know what? With the amount of agility, I'm going to have to do some math. With the amount of agility being so ludicrously high, it might actually be like a 1 minute 10% stagger bump for 18 seconds.
So it would be more like a defensive cooldown.
It could potentially. That's 10% is probably really high. It's probably more like a 3 to 5% because stagger has DRs. But it has potential to function as a damage reduction cooldown. It doesn't look like we're going to need those, but maybe.
That's an interesting take of it.
I could definitely see prop paladins using it because they have prop paladins, prop warriors have the best offensive cooldowns of all the tanks. So they'll like it just because like prop paladins actually liked Font of Power. Just had a hard time using it because if you channel, you can't block.
Mm.
So that made that really awkward. This doesn't have that issue and gives more stats. So you press this with Wings and Seraphim and just go crazy. Plus additional strength also increases their armor from their active mitigation and stuff like that. So like maybe this will be good for them. Probably not for Brewmaster.
Can't you block while channeling? I remember my guildy, my prop warrior guildy, got a high level font at the beginning of the tier, and then we tested if he could block, and he could.
I think it functions differently specifically for prop warriors, because if you press shield block, it guarantees that you block.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I know that you can't as a paladin. Like, if you're a paladin and you channel Cyclo, you cannot block while you're doing that. Like, you can't dodge or parry while you're doing it either. So if you're a brewmaster and you press Cyclo, you cannot. You're basically saying, I'm not going to dodge for the next 6 seconds while I cast and then channel this. And Chi Burst actually has specific text on the ability that says you can dodge and parry while casting this ability.
But luckily, brewmaster is so OP that it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. Like, there, the only boss you really cared about that was Orgazoa. Trying to use it while you weren't actively tanking, which was not that hard to do, but. All right. So how about the healing essences, Abe?
Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the one that I think looks weird as hell. Unwavering Ward, which says, throw out 12 spheres quite far away from you that grant a small shield to people who run through them. Gain an absorb for 24% of your maximum health if you let all 12 orbs go out and get absorbed. It's got a 4-second channel and a small heal for each person that grabs an orb.
So, that's like, yeah, the major is kind of wonky. You can kind of relate it to seeds. It has this long buildup and in the end doesn't do too much. So, like, if I was the tank. And like, let's say for like Orgazoa, like the tank to the DPS, it's a little bit further than that distance of how far the orb actually goes away from you. And it's, you know, it's four orb. It's a, what is it? 3 orbs a second over the 4-second channel time. And it's going in a ring around you. So depending on when you start your channel, a lot of orbs might just go to where nobody is.
Yeah.
And you get a 2% absorb per orb going out, if I'm not mistaken, which isn't that much, but if you let them all go out, that's, you know, it's pretty good. And with like Mistweaver being particularly like tanky, that's really nice, but you're a tanky Mistweaver, you don't really care about taking damage. Like, you have Fort Brew, you also have your tier 75 talent, no, the one before that, the one that gives you another defensive or a healing ability that heals you like 30% of your maximum health, and you're a healer, so like your possibility of death is quite low, so that absorb isn't like a major part. And then it's like the actual shield and heal they do isn't like gonna save somebody's life if they're at like 10%.
So basically what you're saying is this is tuned to the point right now that the absorb the healer gets is not worth mentioning, and the amount of healing it does to the presumably melee that are standing on top of you to collect these orbs, because no DPS is running around to chase an orb. It's hard enough to get them to click a light well. That also doesn't do enough healing to them to justify. So we're talking like a healing rain as a major kind of thing?
Kind of, but it's like only the outside of healing rain actually does the healing. And it's not all too great of a healing aspect.
Yeah.
It's very wonky, and the fact is, like, you have to sit there for 4 seconds to get the full channel out. It does scale with haste, by the way, so it's, you know, more haste the quicker it goes, but it's like, for like that amount of time, you have to just sit there letting it channel. You can't move or anything, which is going to be weird for Mistweavers, because you always have Essence Font that you just run around with and get these 12 orbs out before the damage goes out and pray that your DPS actually, you know, let them hit them or whatever, because everyone can see them, and if you're on the boss, it can kind of look like a mechanic going out.
Ah, yes.
So, like, if you know the two orbs that were on Argus, the lighter color orb, mm-hmm. like the white orb, it looks like that, just a little see-through in the middle. So if you just see 12 of those flying out of the boss, like, you might try to dodge them instead of, you know, the healer, or getting them and getting the little shield that it gives you.
Yeah, classic problem.
Kind of reminds me of Mistweaver's version of Chi Explosion, where he used to spawn the circle of healing spheres.
Oh, yeah. Let's just, you know, they should just keep making things that could look like mechanics so you can scare your DPS.
Like Ring of Peace on, it's like the second or third boss of BOD.
Oh, the monk and the fire mage. I can't remember their name, but that one.
The Jade Fire Masters.
The Jade Fire Masters. When we did a sale on Monday this week, we had 2 or 3 rings get dropped in the maze. And like, everybody knows the maze at this point, but it's still like, all right, guys.
Which way do we actually go? I might have been one of the one that dropped it.
Buyer. Yeah, but I think the buyer got confused, but it didn't matter because they're the buyer.
Yeah, but it's always fun to, you know, mess with your raid.
So how about that miner, though? As a, like, not a healer, it actually looks pretty decent.
It is quite decent, actually. Like, in the sense of... Go ahead,
Walk us through what it does.
So every, 10 seconds, it will just pulse out a shield and put it on every single ally within 15 yards. It's a very small shield, but it can stack up. So if you have a fight that's, you know, sit there, take a ton of damage, and then have like no damage going out for a few minutes, you can get a decent shield on everyone in melee. And then while the shield is up, everyone has 3% DR for who has the shield. And being the fact that we're like a melee healer, and with the Rising Mist changes where you're going to be wanting to sit in melee a lot more, you're basically giving, you know, an effective 2% or 2,000 more health to every melee every 10 seconds and a 3% DR. So, you know, add an extra 60 health on that per stack up to like 18,000 health-ish. And the DR is applied before the shield shield takes damage. So, like, if it's a very small rot fight, it can, you know, reduce a little hit by, like, you know, 200 damage, not even, and then break the shield and the big damage comes. But for anything with like burst damage, this could be, you know, amazing, like requirement for all healers. But
so basically what you're saying is, like, so let's say you have the shields out right now, everybody's got 3% DR, and then a raid AoE happens, like for example the one on Radiance of Azshara, that is just a huge raid-wide nuke, nobody else is taking damage prior. It's going to reduce 3% of the total damage of that?
Yeah. From my understanding, it would reduce 3% of the total damage, and then the shield would take any damage that it could possibly take. So, like, if there's like a hit that gets it down to 1, you still have the DR until then, and the hit that would put it down to 1 would have already been reduced.
Has it, for the non-paladin healers, how does this compare to Aura of Devotion in terms of damage reduction? Do you know?
So when you have your whole raid stacked on you, or like, I think it's like at 6 people or something, Aura, Devotion Aura gives, I think it's like 2% DR to each person up to, at, you know, past 5 people, I think it is. So it's, you know, somewhat similar, but much weaker on rot fights and fights with consistent heavy damage pulses, or just damage pulses in general, because you have that 10-second window where if they don't have the shield, you just kind of have to sit there and wait for them to get it before the DR is there.
Got you.
But the thing is this is probably the one that Holy Paladin is also going to take, because if you're any of the other healing specs, you're at range, and the range typically don't stack on top of each other unless they have to. So it's like got this weird combination where it's like, if you're melee, this is really, you know, quite good because you're going to always have people with you. But if you're range, you're kind of, you know, just out of luck.
I see. So it's probably going to be one of these things where healers mostly run it as a minor, just because it has reasonable throughput, and sometimes the damage reduction is also very good.
Yeah, and then also if we look at like the other essence, it's less desirable than this one would be. And
so the other essence,
and all the other essences, you know, the generic essences that can give corruption resistance aren't as desirable, so just for the corruption resistance aspect alone, you would, you know, take it. And then also the fact the miner is actually pretty stellar. It's just a good combination there.
I see.
And then it triggers the OCD of anyone in your raid, because it's on, like, there's like every healer is using it, so you have 3 of the buff.
Yeah, if I'm actually not mistaken, the shielding stacks, but I don't think the DR does.
God.
Yeah, no, I read somewhere about it from Volk, but I can't remember exactly what he said about the stacking of the DR.
I wonder if it doesn't stack, or if it does the, so like tanks, you never want to stack damage reduction cooldowns on top of one another if you can avoid it, because each one is less effective than the last. So maybe it works like that, where like the first one is going to be a 3% DR, and the next one's going to be like a 2.8%, and the next one's going to be 2.5. And so you're like losing value by stacking multiple of them.
Yeah. That might be it, but.
Or it could just straight up not stack.
Yeah, the shielding does stack, if I remember from PTR testing, but I don't know about the DR. And if I'm not mistaken, the only two healers that are going to take it are Mistweavers and Paladins. And
you have one Paladin in the melee stack.
Yeah, and you have one, you know, at most one Mistweaver and like two Paladins maybe. So it's not going to be that big of an issue, even if it doesn't stack perfectly or anything.
What happened to the 4 Paladin meta, man?
It's still there, but like, your 4 Paladin.
Aura of Devotion stacking bugs, right?
Yeah. Aura of Devotion does have a stack bug, which, for those who don't know, is that the passive version of Devotion Aura overrides the major version. So if you have 3 Paladins, or 2 Paladins, and the raid is completely stacked on top of everyone, if one of the Paladins hits the cooldown that buffs it, it does actually zero. Yeah, Aura Mastery. It doesn't do anything. It the other one just overrides it, and you gain zero value.
Beautiful.
So that's why you have to do fun things like one paladin take Aura of Sacrifice, and pray to God he doesn't actually kill himself by hitting it too early or at the wrong time.
So how about this other new essence, Spirit of Preservation, which the major is like, channel a huge beam of healing into the target that has some cleave on targets that are between you and them. So it's like a supercharged soothing mist, kind of. And then the minor is like a buff to your vivifies every few seconds.
Yeah, so it's like your next quick heal, which like the quick heal is just your quick mana inefficient heal. So like for like Holy Paladins would be like Flash of Light. For Shadow Priests, or not Shadow Priests, the other one, Disc Priest would be Shadowman, but it just buffs the direct target of that, which I'll get to when I get into the major or the minor. But it was very exciting, and then they said that Mistweavers was bugged and nerfed it, and I cried.
What was the bug?
The bug is that the buff to the quick healing, which would be, it has a 20% higher critical chance strike, was affecting all of Vivify, even the cleaves of it. So like if you had four renewing mists out and you hit Vivify, you know, each part has an additional 20% chance to crit, which is, you know, pretty crazy when you see,
so you
like,
would be getting like five times value from it.
Yeah. And then Mistweaver also have a trait that say, if Vivify critically strikes, this is including the cleave parts of it, reduce revival by 1 second. So you had this fun synergy of saying, oh, look, this essence makes it good. Rising Mist also lets me get more renewing mists out. And I could then get massive revival reduction. But it was a bug, quote unquote.
Fingers crossed they don't fix it.
Oh, no, they fixed it. Like, they made the changes to, like, all of Mistweaver's spells getting like a 6-10% buff, and it's the, like, I think it was in 20 minutes later they made another blue post saying, oh yeah, we fixed that Mistweaver bug, guys. Hope you're welcome.
Beautiful.
But talking about the major, we're gonna call this Healing Beam. It is the Healing Beam. We got the meme beam for DPS, we got Cyclo, and now we have the Healing Beam. It is actually a massive amount of single target healing during its duration. It's roughly, I think it's like 100k HPS into one target, ignoring like any of the cleaving it can do. So the cleaving would be is like, if I target this onto a Molson and you guys are standing in between, you'll get some healing too without reducing the healing he gets. So it's like a chi burst and a soothing mist combined.
That doesn't sound like, so maybe if there's some fight, I've looked at most of them in pretty great detail. I don't remember any specific fight that's going to have super heavy damage on a single target.
That's the issue also, is it's really good single target healing, but it falls into the trap of, well, Mistweaver's already really good at single target healing. I can hit right now Soothing Mist and then Enveloping Mist. And if you have a Renewing Mist, great. If you don't, I hit Vivify, and it heals you for like 80 to maybe 100k. Just because of, you know, the fact that we get a giant healing boost and all these other things. And it's, you know, fairly efficient. While like other classes, like if we look at like Shamans or Disc Priests, where their single target healing is like, hey, let me spam one button that does, you know, all right healing into you. And if you take more than moderate damage, I do less healing than that.
So this is something that like maybe sees use on other healing specs that struggle with single target healing, if you just don't have a Mistweaver available, but Mistweavers aren't going to use.
But then again, on top of it, you know, Paladin has good passive healing, Disc has good passive healing on the tanks, but if anything, this would be like a Mythic plus talent or essence for them, since then you are the only healer, and there are moments on certain weeks that are like fortified teaming where the tank is just, you know, it feels like he's like taking off his gear mid pull.
Yeah, my concern with it would be that it's a 3-second channel, which like great, they're going to get to full health over that 3 seconds, but there's the problem of if you hit it too early, you're going to overheal a ton. But if you hit it too late, by the time the channel actually does enough healing, they might die. And usually that kind of pull, 3 seconds is not long enough. Like, you need you need something like Dampen Harm, where you're hitting a cooldown and now you take 50% reduced damage for 10 seconds. The duration of it is not long enough.
Yeah, and that was another topic when we were looking at these, is it versus Vitality Conduit, which it's an older essence, but the idea of it is you place it on someone and then it takes health from higher health allies around you and puts it into them. So like, if I put it on a Molson, it would take health from me and J-Funk. Then changing the requirement of I need a lot of single target healing to let me just heal the group.
Yeah, I have seen Disc Priests using that in Mythic Plus.
Yeah, and it's also on a shorter cooldown and is, you know, somewhat quicker. So in general, it's pretty great comparatively, but you're both kind of sore out of luck for, you know, single target healing at that point.
Yeah, so this just seems like it is a square peg where there's just a whole bunch of round holes in the game right now.
Yeah. Which, luckily, somehow they made a circular peg for us with the Unwavering Ward Miner, because everybody had been complaining about DR not having it, like Mistweavers and every other healer besides essentially Resto Shaman, Paladin, and Disc Priest for Zakul, where you have these giant, you know, bursts of damage through dreads that you want to get off right away so your DPS don't, you know, complain. And, you know, only those three classes had it. So they, you know, were like, okay, everyone, you can get a little DR and we'll give you a shield with it too.
Except the shield gets ticked away by Hysteria before the dread happens.
Phase one. That's our one selling point, is we're really good at phase one. No, but, you know, it also provides, you know, maximum HP. So for bosses like Azara, where your health is reduced, the shield won't get reduced.
Got you. Yeah, that's a good point. I think Azara is another one this tier that had a lot of people complaining about the imbalance in DR availability, because DR gets proportionally better or more valuable as your health gets lower, because smaller amounts of damage are going to kill you, and the damage reduction is going to keep you from dying before the healing actually gets done.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's like, if we look at it, like, the most stressful part of Azara is later in the fight, like phase four, and you're still like not pushing 60k HPS, and you look at like Orgazoa, it's like phase one, not even like when the boss is like 50%. If the phase is 40, like I remember, you know, 10% before the phase, you're all at 60,000 plus healing. And sometimes you can see people going much higher than that.
Yeah. Well, there's two more essences that we're going to talk about, and these are both tank specific essences in theory. So the first one that I think has other members of the tank community a little bit excited is Strength of the Warden, which as a major gives you an AoE taunt, which is a huge gap. I wish we had had that for Orgazoa. It would have solved so many balance issues. It gives you an AoE taunt on a 2-minute cooldown, so maybe I don't wish it had been around for Orgazoa, because I wouldn't have used it. But it taunts all nearby enemies, forcing them to attack you for 6 seconds, increases your dodge chance by 15%, and causes enemies taunted by it to take an extra 50% damage from you. And if that all sounds amazing, remember that this is a 2-minute cooldown and Meme Beam is a 90-second cooldown, so it has the exact same problem in Mythic Plus and sometimes in raids that Meme Beam has, that Anima had this tier, in that the cooldowns don't line up when you want them to, so your DPS are going to be using Meme Beam while you're sitting there with 30 seconds on your Essence cooldown. I'm sure you can probably hear the frustration in my voice, but I don't know how they keep screwing this up. So for Brewmaster in particular, we already have the statue AoE taunt. It requires you to not have Ring of Peace, which is a downside, to be sure. But Ring of Peace on most fights is, and even in keys, is not as good as most of the other major essences. So probably not using this, especially because it doesn't actually solve a problem. It doesn't solve the problem with threat from Meme Beam because the cooldowns don't line up. And for Brewmaster in particular, like 50% damage amp is pretty good, but we don't have any cooldowns to pump into that 6-second window where we're dealing increased damage. And like having one Keg Smash do 50% extra damage and then a Blackout Strike deal 50% extra damage is just not comparable with the amount of damage that you get from Crucible of Flame or in high keys from Conflict and Strife.
So this AoE taunt, it sounds like they saw the world first race where they had two Brewmasters just taunting on Dave, and they're like, that seems like an issue. Let's give everyone else a possibility to do that. And they put it on just a timer that's not
way feasible, too
long. Yeah, for any fight like that.
It feels like the timer is set up so they could have a 50% damage amp, which looks cool when you look at it and you see 50% increased damage. It's like, oh my gosh. But it means that it doesn't actually serve the primary purpose of being an AoE taunt. That cooldown is actually too long to be used to two tank Orgazoa. Because you have to swap every about 40 seconds or the boss actually kills you. Because when you hit 10 stacks of the boss's buff, it literally kills you. It's an instant kill, just like the barrier on Azshara. So, and there's no damage reduction cooldowns are going to fix that. So you literally just couldn't even use this for Orgazoa. And I don't think there's any fight next tier where you want an AoE taunt. So the only place this would see use is as a means to deal with the Meme Beam in Mythic Plus, but the cooldown is too long for that. So it's square peg round holes. Although, J-Funk, I think you had a note in here about maybe Windwalker using this.
Yeah, people on Discord have been noodling around with the idea that Windwalker might use it with Formless Void, because you could use it and then you could TOD beforehand and then use it 2 seconds later or whatever, because you'd want the TOD to go off like during the buff.
Yeah.
And it lasts 6 seconds and TOD lasts 8. But you'd like Windwalker double dips in, when the mobs take percentage more damage, because you're dealing more damage during your TOD, which is being stored. 10% of that's being stored into TOD, and then TOD does more damage with the bonus damage effect. That's good, but it also, like, this doesn't do anything else but do damage, and you also end up taunting the boss, which isn't the most useful thing ever.
I mean, you gain dodge, though. Like, you're golden, right?
I think more than likely what's going to happen is if you use this, you'll just die, and then you'll be like, tank, please, taunt.
Oh, actually, that's a really bad idea to use this essence as Windwalker now that I think about it. So it's it is very, very relevant that the taunt fixates them for 6 seconds, because tank taunts fixate for 3 seconds. So even if the tank taunts immediately after 3 seconds, the boss will turn back around and hit you again.
Well, you can just get bopped. I mean, it would work too.
Okay, that's what you would need to do.
But I don't think it'd be that good. And you're also forcing one of your tanks to use this essence, which they probably wouldn't normally do.
Yeah, no, this should, you're not using this essence in a raid this tier. I don't think any fight wants it.
I mean, the only fight I could see is like what, Hive Mind, and that's just not for the taunt. It's just for the, you know, there's 70 mobs here. If I have a 50% damage app on something that hits 70 mobs,
yeah,
I can pad and, you know, do less damage to the boss, but maybe pad more.
That's why you use a PP major, and then you one-shot the mobs.
Yeah. The thing is, for the tanks that actually have offensive cooldowns to exploit the 6-second damage amp, they will actually probably just use World Vein, which has a defensive bonus that's better, has a lower cooldown, and it's not going to make them do 50% extra damage in that 6 seconds, but over 20 seconds, or, you know, more likely 36 seconds out of every 2 minutes, having, what was it, like 4,500 extra main stat is probably going to be better than the 50% damage amp in 6 seconds, especially since, knowing Blizzard, this essence is probably on the GCD.
I just think the damage amp doesn't last long enough for DPS users to care.
Yeah.
If that was a 10-second damage amp, I feel like that would be fire for Windwalker.
Yeah, like Firemage would love it, but it's just, yeah. You know, it's just 6 seconds. It's like not long enough for really anyone. I mean, maybe Prowler could use it with Ravager or something, but that just seems weird.
And then it's like, what, it's probably on the GCD, so it's closer to 4.5 seconds.
Right, so you're getting 2 to 3 casts in it, and that's not very good. The Miner, on the other hand, might be good. I'm not sure. So basically, the way it works, if you remember the Bloodthirsty Urchin from this tier, it's one of the best tank trinkets we've gotten in a while. What it does is, as you are healed, it stores some of the healing, or basically copies some of the healing into the trinket's effect, and then trickles that out as just a hot over time. And as far as HPS goes, it's very, very good. It does a lot of healing. It's still kind of weak, like, relative to healing throughput from actual healers, but it's the best we've got. So the way the Miner works on this essence is it does the same storing healing thing, but instead of it being a heal over time, all of the healing is released whenever you dodge or parry. So for Brewmasters in particular, we dodge a lot. You're looking at a dodge like every 3 or 4 seconds easily. And I'm a little bit conflicted. So this actually seems a little bit like it's tailored for Brewmaster. So stagger means you're going to be below 100% HP when you actually do dodge. More than likely, and you're dodging frequently enough that the heal is not going to be like a lay on hands that would massively overheal. And because of the way our mastery works, the most likely case for us to dodge is we're right after we've taken multiple hits in a row and dropped lower. So like, it's just a confluence of things that like this Miner actually might be really good, just from a raw healing perspective.
Would the healing also be affected by that healing amp y'all have? This sounds balanced.
So yeah, it should work with Celestial Fortune because it's just a regular healing effect. It's going to get made more consistent because of stagger and our mastery. So this actually legitimately might be a Miner that we run because we want it and not because it gives 10 corruption resistance.
So like, you could hypothetically then get more crit. So you reduce the chance you dodge. So, you know, you take a few hits and then you have a higher chance or higher amount of healing back from the crit effect.
Yeah, but it's not like, so the way it works, let me actually go and look up the actual like function of it. Every 2 seconds, store an amount of healing that's fixed up to a maximum of 10% of your health total. Whenever you dodge or parry an attack, heal for all stored healing. So dodging less frequently doesn't actually increase the amount of healing it's going to do. It's just going to increase the size of that heal. And the most it can do is 10% of your HP. So really, you want to dodge every... You always want to try and dodge before you hit that cap, which it's the actual amount of healing stored every second or every 2 seconds is going to scale with your neck level. So I'm going to have to actually pull up my spreadsheets to figure out how much that does, but the base value looks pretty high, so we're gonna have to see if it's actually good enough to see use over an essence that does damage.
So this is gonna be the one essence y'all are actually blitzing.
Yeah, we might actually use this, not the major, never the major, but we might use the Miner.
Or like DPS, or not DPS, but tanks and healers. It just kind of seems like not the major, only the Miner.
Yeah, the majors have pretty much universally been big misses for most tanks. Speaking of big misses, so the other tank essence this tier is Touch of the Everlasting. The major is a cheat death on a 10-minute cooldown, and when you die, it You regenerate over 3 seconds up to 40% of your max health and take 85% reduced damage. This is the best cheat death trinket or cheat death effect we've gotten the entire expansion. There was the trinket off of Rastakhan that was a cheat death trinket that saw some use in the MDI because the cost of dying as a tank there was so high that it was worth using. But the general rule for these cheat death effects is that you want them if you think you might die. And if you're tanking a boss, for most people, you should have a plan for when you're using cooldowns, when you're using potions and stuff like that, so that you're not at the risk of dying. That's a little bit different in the world first race and stuff like that, where this might actually see a little bit of use, and obviously very different in the MDI, where the cost of a wipe is not, you know, everybody gets to use an extra set of potions and food, but actually, you know, losing a match. So this stands to see some use in those like very high-end settings, and maybe a little bit of use while you are learning a new boss, but probably never putting on the major for this. Most people are probably just never going to use it. The minor as well is not very good. If you're familiar, there's a Azerite trait that we have that's very comparable to it called Ablative Shield. That's like when you drop below 35% health, you get a bunch of armor for a few seconds. This does that, and it has an added bonus that the next time you use your active mitigation, it lasts 30% longer. Some tanks, like warriors, might actually like this because having shield block up as much of the time as possible is extremely powerful, and they can't hit 100% uptime. However, brewmasters have too many brews, so the 30% bonus is just not very good. So this is one we're probably just going to skip.
So if you had the major and the cheat death from Rastakhan, let's say, and then you were on a boss like Rastakhan where one tank sits in a corner and nobody's near him, could that still be like, hey, look, we can just let this tank do whatever he wants and focus on the raid as the healers? Or like, would it still just be like, I'd rather have damage?
So this isn't going to let you live long enough to actually, you know, like this is not the kind of thing. So I did the Rastakhan solo thing as a paladin during Prague, during BOD. And the way you did that is you just reset your stacks with immunities. And you still needed healing. You actually had, like, we had one of our healers that stood in range of me to give me dedicated healing so that we could do that. This isn't something that's going to let you do any solo shenanigans, more than likely. There's nothing next tier where the tank is taking a huge hit and would need something to survive that maybe this would let you solo. There's nothing like that. So once again, kind of square peg, round hole. Although, I forgot to write down, there's an extra effect tacked onto the major, which is when your death is prevented, the cooldown of your major cooldown, major defensive cooldown, is reset. So for brewmasters, that's fortifying brew. Still not very good, because you're giving up your entire major essence slot for maybe sometimes preventing a death and then getting fort brew back. We're going to have a whole podcast probably next week about how bad tank essences are. Spoilers. So I'm not going to belabor the point anymore.
I'm really happy that it's not just healer essences that just feel underwhelming.
How do you feel about the DPS essences, J-Funk?
They're good. I don't know. Like, Blood of the Enemy is cool. There's some cool ones. Like, I think Unbound Force is a disappointing one. Like, for me, Unbound Force was cool, but like, it really feels like the major and the minor should have been switched, but they didn't want to do that because it would have been way too good.
Yeah, I find myself kind of wishing that we got a second major this tier instead of just an additional minor. And I know that would have been, for a lot of specs, a huge amount of power creep, but an issue that I struggled with writing the guide for essences for Brewmaster last tier is that if you aren't PvPing to get Conflict and Strife, which you should, it's still going to be very good next year, FYI. If you're not doing that, though, you could almost just leave your last minor slot empty and not care, because they're so universally weak. But on the other hand, like, I would throw on, you know, I don't actually know that I would use any of these majors, but I would throw on one of the generic majors, like Formless Void major on top of Crucible of Flame major.
Go ahead.
One major that got buffed that we didn't talk about is Purification Protocol. Got changed a little bit, where the damage got buffed by a little bit, and now it can kill things that are part of raid and dungeon counters.
Is there like a list to of like what it counts, or is it just like anything it could one shot?
I think it's just anything. Awesome. But they also, I do High Mythic Plus a lot, and they also simultaneously made it so you couldn't skip Shadow Azul, which is what you do often High Mythic Plus right now, because Shadow Azul is immensely overtuned, and they didn't really nerf him. So people are thinking that you might just have everyone use Purification Protocol major, and then hopefully you kill Shadow Azul in a hierarchy. If you can't, then you just leave. Here.
So you just like, is that gate that you cannot get to Shadow of Azul until after you kill all three bosses prior, right?
Yeah. So how you would do it is like a DH would just like jump over the gate because the invisible wall didn't extend all the way up, but they patched that.
But now, I guess, so maybe you have everybody run Purification Protocol, you kill the three bosses, you go to Shadow of Azul, you all use Purification Protocol and hope it kills them, and if it doesn't, you go finish your percent, and if it does, you also go finish your percent?
I don't know, man. The thing is, Shadow Azul is like in hierarchies, it's just you can't tank him. Like, as a tank, you just run away the whole time, because he just will kill anyone that he touches.
I mean, he's almost untankable. Now that we're super geared relative to the tier, he's pretty tankable on a 15. But earlier in the tier, when you're trying to get 15s done, I definitely ran with healers that could not keep up with actually trying to tank that.
And then I'd imagine even on higher keys, you fall into the he one-shots you if you're not a tank. And if you're a tank, if you don't have, you know, 100k HPS going into you, you just die.
Yeah. Regardless, I'm excited for Purification Protocol major to be used potentially more often and see it like one-shot mobs. I know in Hive Mind, it one-shots the ads, which isn't the most useful thing ever, but it's pretty cool.
I can't wait for it to be the deciding factor in an MDI where they're like one group just has what's like one of the mobs that just has a ton of health. It just one shots a mob that has a shit ton of health, and for the other group it like kills some random low health mob, and it's just like one team just like got 15 seconds back on the clock.
Again, I don't know what mobs it affects. I think it affects mini bosses now, but I'm not 100% sure. I hope it does.
Oh my gosh.
Does it allow us to delete Tol'Dagor?
Yeah, can we have it do that? And maybe King's Rest too while we're at it?
No, but it'd be pretty fun in Shrine, like one-shotting Guardian Elemental and stuff too.
That would be useful.
That's a pretty nice change for it, though, because I don't think there are any aberrations otherwise in next tier, except for, like, Hive Mind adds.
I think most of the bosses are.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Maybe I just misread the type lines. I guess...
I don't know how good it is, even with that. Like, I know it's really good on Z'Kul, but it's, like, Z'Kul's a special case where everything's an aberration, and then they're also taking percentage increased damage, so it's, like, double good. Where, like, I think even on single target, if it's an aberration, it isn't good enough. I think it has to be AoE.
Please don't one-shot the ads on Hive Mind for me. That's the one time I can take Way of the Crane and just, you know, 20 ads, spin.
Spins, you win.
The Hive Mind, actually, as Windwalker, I feel pretty useful because I can use Disable on the flying away mobs and root them before they fly away.
Don't release all the new raid strats.
All right. Any thoughts that you guys have about the essences or the patch before we wrap things up?
Just to like flashback, since J-Funk said Shrine of the Storm, that made me remember the last boss and how terrible it can be. Spirit of Preservation, the healing meme beam, might actually be good for that boss on higher keys, I'd imagine, since it, you know, you can just blast that boss with the healing meme beam and, you know, you've done a ton of HPS at that time and you still have the rest of your spell. So, like, as a paladin, you could, like, lay on hands, potentially, if you have it up, and then meme beam, and then holy shock and pray. Or if you don't have it up, you can just, like, holy shock into meme beam and then, you know, use two spells and have holy shock back.
What would you be doing that? Like, who would you be targeting with that on the last boss of Shrine?
Oh, not Shrine. I'm sorry. God, what's the one with the healing boss at the end? That's the one I'm trying to refer to.
Oh, yeah. Temple.
Yeah, Temple. Yeah, that's the one. I'm sorry. I thought of snakes.
Yeah. Okay.
That there could be synergy there, but what are you giving up for it? Because that has Galv, which Galv is very scary. I think the name is Galv. I can't remember these bosses' names.
Yeah. You're right.
But for the last monster in Shrine, I feel kind of bad for Mistweavers now with the Life Cocoon change, because now their Life Cocoon will shield them for one instead of set them up.
Because
you have 9 stacks, you have 1 HP, so Life Cocoon is based on your cat, like the monk's HP now, so it'll shield for one.
Just at 4 brew, so then you have 2 HP.
Oh man.
Which the Life Cocoon does scale with HPS increases. So, like, if your tank is like, I need a defensive here, you can Fort Brew and then Life Cocoon. And, you know, you still
have another defensive. Yeah, you Fort Brew, and then you have a Prot Warrior, he rallies, and then you Life Cocoon. Easy.
I'm surprised they didn't do the thing that they do for tanks, which is, instead of them counting actual HP for most of that kind of effect, it's based off your expected HP. So, like, for Gift of the Ox, which is getting fixed for Brewmasters, it operates off the expected HP you should have for a character of your item level. So, like, the idea being that if for whatever reason you decided to use stamina food, which don't, please don't, but if you did, it wouldn't nerf your healing from Gift of the Ox, because that isn't related to your item level. And it also means that, like, Gift of the Ox doesn't get changed when you soak stacks on the Jara. So I'm surprised they didn't do that. It seems much cleaner. That's like kind of the whole idea of that kind of effect, is that you don't have players randomly getting punished for these fight mechanics that reduce your max HP and stuff like that.
Because doesn't that double affect like Windwalker? Because it's like touch of
death. Oh yeah, let me tell you.
Oh, tell me, please.
Well, it doesn't affect us on Ashara as much. It just kind of restricts your cooldown usage. So you have to use it before you soak, which is really annoying. I really hope that next expansion they'll go away from that idea, because I'd really hate it.
I think the expected HP model has worked pretty well for tanks. Like, there's not really any edge cases where that kind of thing breaks. The reason it sort of kind of broke this expansion, and it was never like inconsistent between fights or anything like that, it was just that, like, they tacked on a bunch of extra HP from Azurite and stuff like that that didn't get counted by the expected HP formula, which then led to us, you know, healing more than we were supposed to. But, like, it's very functional. It's very straightforward. And you're never going to notice that actual effect unless you're looking for it. It's always going to do what you want it to do, and like there's a little bit less gameplay because you can't do things that reduce your max HP to increase your HPS and stuff like that, but that's such a, there's so few of those effects, and I guess there's more HP buff effects that like would increase Touch of Karma damage and stuff like that. But
yeah, I think if they're gonna do more raid mechanics and dungeon mechanics that like change your HP, they should not have a DPS class so their major cooldown is based on their HP.
Now a healer with their only external being based off their HP.
Yeah, it was a big issue on Cabal back in Crucible. I think it was called Crucible. Yes. That was like super annoying.
Because that one, that has basically the same buff as on the last boss of Shrine, right? Where you're taking stacks that reduce your HP by up to 90%.
Yeah, but you do more damage.
And it makes you do more damage.
Yeah, like yeah, everyone else is using their cooldowns when like they have all this damage, and you're like, well, I guess I'll use my major cooldown now before it does zero damage.
Yeah.
Is it the health you have at the start when you apply it, or at the end?
Yeah, both both TOD and TOK snapshot at the cast.
Okay, so you could like use it, and then like as you get the buff, but then you know still not get it the full value because you have to stack
your. The problem is that buff stacks over like 30 seconds or something like that. So by the time Touch of Death ends, you've only gotten two, maybe three stacks.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big deal later on because you used the tank trinket from Opulence and you just had a big absorb shield and then didn't die. But
that tank trinket, by the way, still the best in the entire expansion. I know I talked about Bloodthirsty Urchin earlier, but if you can get a high item level diamond, it's still better. So, but it can't Titan Forge above 455, so maybe that will finally put it to rest.
Maybe.
Maybe. All right. Well, I think we've gotten sufficiently off topic to go ahead and wrap things up here. You've been listening to episode number 24 of the PeteCraft podcast. We will be back here sometime in the next couple of weeks with another episode talking about why tank essences are bad, all of them. So join us for that. But until then, have a good night.
Good night, everybody.